Okay. Thank you for the introduction, and thank you all for being here this afternoon. Like she said, I'm going to be discussing seedling management of the brown stink bug in field corn. So to introduce you to the pest that we're going to be discussing today, it's the brown stink bug, Euschistus cervus. This is an adult on the top here, and a third instar nymph on the bottom. This is a native pest to southeastern United States, and it produces at least two generations a year in Virginia, where we did this research. The second of which is going to overwinter in crops, residue, or woodlands. And in Virginia in particular, there's oftentimes multiple suitable hosts planted in close proximity to each other. And then oftentimes that's also in high residue fields. So it creates a situation where there's undisturbed overwintering habitat for this pest, and it's become a perennial issue in recent years. And we know through a number of previous studies that it's capable of causing seedling injury to field corn. So just to show you the vegetative stages of corn development, here we have emergence through VT, which are all the vegetative stages. And when we talk about the stages that we want to manage for brown stink bug, we're talking about emergence through V6. And V6 just means you have six open leaves on the plant. So beyond V6, you likely won't see any lasting injury from brown stink bug damage. So to look at what some of this injury looks like, here we can see a stink bug feeding directly on the growth point of this corn plant, and that's where all of the future shoot and leaf tissue of that plant is going to extend from. So as a result of that feeding early on in the season, you see a number of growth deformities in corn as it develops, one of which is tilling, where you have the multiple shoots extending from the same root system, which kind of decreases the overall vigor of that plant. This leaf injury is characteristic of stink bug feeding, where you have window pane injury across the leaf like you can see here. And if that's severe enough, oftentimes the tops of those leaves will fall off. And again, it decreases the overall growth and vigor of the plant experiencing that injury. And a combination of all that type of growth deformity that we see early on in the season can ultimately result in plants reaching reproductive stages of corn development that are pretty severely stunted and deformed. And that's how you get from a stink bug feeding on a very early growth stage of corn to an ultimate loss in the yield. So we know that we see this injury from brown stink bug feeding, but we also know that in Virginia, as well as most of the United States, 80 to 100% of corn is already planted with a systemic neonic seed treatment. And that activity is still present in shoot tissue up to 3 weeks after planting, which is sort of the end of the period of time you would be worried about managing for brown stink bugs. And then also in-furrow applications are often made for soil pests at planting. And since the stink bug is feeding so low on the plant, there's some potential for those applications to prevent this early stink bug damage. So these insecticidal management strategies are already in place for a number of other pests, so there's potential that this could also provide control for stink bugs, and then we wouldn't have to add any additional insecticides into the system. So based on all that, we had a couple of objectives that we wanted to study to help develop management strategies for stink bugs and seedling corn. The first of which was to determine a threshold for management of stink bugs in seedling corn, so the level of infestation that would ultimately cause a loss in our yield. And then we wanted to evaluate those insecticide treatments that I discussed previously for their efficacy in preventing brown stink bug damage early in the season. So for our first objective, we can find different rates of brown stink bugs to seedling plants at V2 for 1 week, and that was about 14 days after planting. And that's what the setup looked like. Each one of our enclosures has three developing corn plants, and we applied 0, 1, 2, or 3 bugs to each one of those enclosures. And in 2019, we did this experiment with each one of those infestation levels tested with and without Poncho 250, which is the lowest commercial rate of our systemic neonic. And then we removed those cages. We measured the leaf height to get an idea of how our early growth was impacted by these different infestation levels. And then we also measured the leaf height at multiple points throughout the season, as well as at maturity. And then once each one of those plants reached maturity, we assessed the yield. So we estimated the yield for individual years from each one of our treated plants. So here we have our mean extended leaf height on the y-axis, which is our indication of how our early growth was affected. And on the x-axis, we have both of our, we have our with and without insecticide treatment, and within each one of those, we have all of our infestation levels. So you can see that the plant growth was significantly reduced by early stink bug feeding in both with insecticide treatment and without. So there was no significant difference in the impact of early growth from the insecticide treatment. And then here we have the same graph just at week 12, so at the end of the season. And you can see the same trend. Where we had one bug per plant, we had a significant reduction in the plant growth that lasted throughout the entire season, but that wasn't significantly mitigated by the presence of that insecticide treatment. So then when we assess the yield for each one of these plants, we have a similar graph here. Yield is on the y-axis, and both of our with and without insecticide treatments on the x. And what we saw here is not the result that we expected. We actually saw a significant reduction in the yield in plants that were treated with an insecticide and not in plants that weren't. So I have a hard time explaining that. But when you combine that data in conjunction with our data from 2018, you do see a negative correlation between the yield and the infestation level of the brown stink bug. And that was in the presence of that systemic insecticide treatment. So what we can determine from this data is that a 10% increase in infestation would, at V2 would result in a loss of about 5 bushels per acre. And we can use that in conjunction with the price of grain as well as the price of insecticide application to develop an economic threshold at these growth stages for our growers. So we saw in that first experiment that that low rate of poncho potentially didn't provide any significant control of that early damage that we see from brown stink bug feeding. So we wanted to then test different rates of that poncho treatment as well as a couple of different in-furrow applications. So for this experiment, we had two planting dates, one on April 17th and one on April 30th. And we had six treatments that we tested. One was an untreated control where no insecticide was applied to either the seed or as an in-furrow application. Then we had three different rates of the clothianidin, which is our poncho treatment. And we had an in-furrow application of turbifos, which is an organophosphate, as well as an in-furrow application of bifenthrin, which is a pyrethroid. So we arranged each one of our insecticide treatments in a randomized complete block. And we had three enclosures per plot, which looked like that. And each one of those enclosures was the same as I discussed in our early experiment, where we had three plants per enclosure, and we introduced one stink bug per plant to each one of our insecticide treatments at V2, which again was about 14 days after planting. So then again, we measured the plant height. We removed the cages to get an idea of how our early growth was impacted, and then we assessed the yield at maturity. So for this experiment, because these insecticide applications are mainly for soil-borne pests, and we wanted to assess just the impact of brown stink bug feeding in the presence of each one of these treatments, for this experiment, we had three enclosures, like I discussed earlier. We introduced stink bug pressure to two of them, and one of them was left without stink bug pressure. And for the leaf height and the yield, we took the average of the leaf height and yield for each one of the cages without stink bug pressure and subtracted the ones with stink bug pressure. So as you'll see as I get into the data here, if we see a large difference in the leaf height or the yield, it means that the insecticide treatment that we're discussing didn't significantly mitigate the impact of the stink bug feeding. But if you see less of a difference within that insecticide treatment, then we can assume that the stink bug either wasn't feeding or its impact was mitigated by that treatment. So we'll get into the data here. And here we have the difference in plant height on the y-axis. So as I was saying before, if you look at just say the control in week one, The value is -5, meaning that when you introduce brown stink bug pressure at V2 without any insecticide treatment, the overall plant growth was decreased by about 5 centimeters. But in our early planted experiment in 2019, we actually didn't see a significant difference between our insecticide treatments. Then when we got into our late planted experiment, we didn't see a significant difference the day that we removed the insect pressure. But as we moved throughout the season, you can see that our systemic neonic treatments had a significantly less, the brown stink bug feeding had significantly less impact on the plant growth in the presence of those treatments. And that trend held true all the way through the end of the season. So plants that were fed on by brown stink bugs early on in untreated seed and then with both of our in-furrow applications were significantly shorter than plants that were treated with one of those systemic neonic seed treatments. So then, same thing for our yield. We have the difference in yield on the y-axis, and each one of our treatments in our early and late planted experiment on the x. And you can see that the difference was not significant between insecticide treatments in our early planted experiment. And then in our late planted experiment, our systemic treatments were significantly less impacted in the yield than our control and our in-furrow applications. So what we can summarize from this is that the systemic seed treatments, particularly rates higher than the lowest commercial rate, can potentially mitigate the impact of early stink bug feeding. So just to summarize everything I've talked about today, we did confirm from previous studies that seedling stages of corn growth are critical for brown stink bug management, not only for the early growth impact, but for the yield at the end of the season. And we found in our first experiment that loss can potentially still occur with the lowest commercially applied rate of neonic seed treatment. But we did find that that loss is potentially mitigated if you apply higher rates. And one additional thing is that based on that seed treatment experiment, we had a much greater impact of the stink bug feeding in our later planted corn, which could mean that the stink bug feeding is more prevalent the later you plant corn. So I'd like to thank my committee and my funding source, and I'd be happy to take any questions. Yeah, so the question is how we determine the yield. We took each individual ear from all of the treated plants, and we counted the number of kernel rows and then the average number per row, and then the moisture content and a weight of 100 kernels, and then you calculate the number of total kernels per ear and the weight of that and convert it into bushels.
Any other questions? We'll thank our speaker.
Thank you.